You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Fashion. Turn to the left.
Fashion.
Turn to the right.
Fashion.
Fashion?
It's fashion with Penelope Noir.
Morning, Penny. How are you this morning?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Where are we going in the world of fashion today?
Well, I thought we'd look at counterfeit luxury goods.
Ooh, bougie, you know, on a budget. That's what I like to see. What prompted this investigation for you?
Well, there's a very good article that came out on Saturday on The Guardian. I guess regular listeners will know that I read that and always get, like, really good ideas. And the title of the article is called "Hermes Smells Soft and Smoky, Gucci More Like Wood, How Fake Hunters Tell Designer Knockoffs from the Real Deal." And it's written by Morwenna Ferrier, and she buys an Acne Studios scarf online, expecting that it's going to be this lush motor and wool kind of scarf. But it arrives, doesn't feel quite so good. The logo says dry keen only. But then also goes, I purchased this for £22 and the original is £250.
So perhaps like
there's some kind of...
I quite like the idea of really crossing your fingers that it's going to be legit. £22, that's a bargain, you know? Got it.
Yeah, and I guess that's kind of like one point that you should look out for. So I kind of did a bit of a dive into it, and apparently high-end knockoffs have been around for a while. Dior was actually known to sell old patterns to companies who would produce cheaper versions, so that was kind of like an approved kind of thing. And if you think about it, I think that's how, Dior kind of got into New Zealand and things.
Oh, true.
Because they sent, it may not have been like lower-end knockoffs, but the patterns were sent here.
Yeah.
There's even, in 1951, there was even a museum of counterfeit items opened in France, and it holds more than 400 items, which is quite weird.
Wow.
And the upsurge in fakes kind of began in the late 70s and early 80s with Levi's, apparently, because people wanted Levi's and they were too expensive, so they got... faked, which is really weird.
They're so ubiquitous now. You can find Levi's in any op shop in literally probably the entire world. That kind of makes me be like, how many of those are counterfeit vintage at this point?
Yeah, it's crazy, eh? And, brands, when they first discovered this kind of happening, they started burning all their dead stock to make sure that, things weren't and then, of course, that causes a lot of problems. But now most of them see it as kind of... a way to get their brand around the world still.
That's free and advertising.
Yeah, some of them kind of even embrace it. Like in 2017, Gucci adopted the fake moniker of G-U-C-C-Y instead of I and put that on the runway. Gucci. And also Lululemon at one point had these Align leggings, and there were so many fakes or dupes, as they are, because they were kind of... duped ones, that they hosted a swap where people could go in and exchange them for the real thing.
Wow.
Because they were so annoyed. Yeah.
Wow. What's the benefit there for them?
They probably just don't like people knowing, because if that is something, especially depending on the size of your label, if people start ripping it off and being like, this is it, and then the quality's crap or something, it would be very frustrating.
Yeah.
I mean, Lululemon's a huge brand, though, so I don't. Yeah, I'm not saying, support the tiny business that is Lululemon,
Shop local Lululemon.
And it's kind of interesting because in the 90s, apparently it was almost like a badge of honour to own counterfeit products like Louis Vuitton.
It's come back round as well. I think that the sort of Y2K revival, people are like quite stoked with their counterfeit, bags with the misspellings.
Like anti-classist,
And Hermes, Gucci and Louis Vuitton are the most counterfeited, and because they are, I guess, high quality, and the people kind of aim to create them as high quality.
Right.
So. Yeah. And so the high quality ones are called dupes because they're original, and they're trying to pass them off as the original.
Mm.
Whereas there are some that are just kind of like fake, that have the weird names and things. Like I remember a friend telling me that her mum came over and she was wearing a shirt that said Versace instead of Versace, which nice. Completely cracked me up. And some people apparently look out for those and buy those because they like the fact that they are so obviously fake.
I love that. I love also, this is just jumping around thinking of Versace. I love that the film Showgirls, famous kind of chaotic movie, she has made, the woman who's the main actress in that, whose name I'm just blanking on at 8:15 in the morning, but she's made her own trucker hats now that say, "Thanks, I got it from Versace," which I think is so good.
That's awesome. So there's a downside, of course. It's not just about a counterfeit product, but the dark trade, as it's called, has links to human trafficking, labour exploitation, child labour, and it's also environmental impacts because they used, you know, dyes. And if we remember about the Hermes Birkin, they're handmade.
Yeah.
But the thing that fascinated me is that there are people that specialise in sorting fakes from the original or from the, you know, and they, you know, the website Vestiaire Collective, which is the massive secondhand website that was started in France in 2009, they have 60 people known as authenticators that work around the world in their warehouses in Hong Kong, Seoul, Brooklyn and France.
It feels very Ocean's 8.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Yeah, and they've studied at like fashion museums or art history auction houses. Some have worked in the brand's factories or are just fashion nerds. And they go and get their fashion knowledge tested, and then they train for 3 months at the head office. And taken from the article, it says they have to know about leather and embossing methods, but also when Haile Selassie removed the accent from Celine, when Nike collaborated with Tiffany, and how much Demna tweaked the font size when he joined Balenciaga.
Ooh, that is fascinating. That's like being, I mean, it's like in any sort of auction house where they have art authenticators and, you know, it takes a really long time to say, yep, this painting is definitely made by this famous artist, because you have to go find someone who worked in his studio or was his student or something like that. And
Provenance, exactly. Yeah, it's kind of weird because one of my favourite TV shows is Fake or Fortune, which is the art world. And I was like thinking, oh my God, why do they not do a fashion one?
Yes.
That would be so cool.
I love I love the kind of, as you were saying, like the sort of embracing of it, although it's, you know, an extremely cooked world. There is something quite hilariously fun about seeing somebody wear a purposefully misspelt shirt or a goosey bag.
I had a math teacher in high school go, I don't even know where he went, he came back with what he thought was a Yeezy Skechers collab, and he was so happy. He was like, wow, I didn't even know they did this. I was like, I don't think they did.
Yeah, well, apparently streetwear is one of the key kind of areas where knockoffs are prevalent, you know. But this year, which is pretty cool, they charge the customer £15 to get the product shipped to them first for checking, and then they send it to the client, you know, to the customer.
So your sort of insurance policy, you know, it's been legitimised.
Yeah, and you don't have to take that up. But they say about 70% do that, and of that, 2% are fake.
Oh, wow.
So, and then what they do is they keep it for 6 months and then they try and upcycle it or recycle it, but I don't know quite how they do that because that seems a bit weird to me, but maybe they put a Gucci with a Y on there or a Gucci or something.
I would just love a big secondhand sale of obviously counterfeited products. I would go to that. I'd have a great time. Someone said they got a great, I'm probably going to butcher the pronunciation here, Tag Heuer watch in Bali for only $20. What a bargain.
Nice.
I'm sure everybody's got a friend who's come back from Bali with a really amazingly expensive handbag that they got for £15 or something.
Yeah, it's quite interesting. This whole article goes into like meeting some of the people that actually are the authenticators and things like that. Like there's this one really young guy, looks like he's about 12, and basically he bought his first Louis Vuitton bag when he was 16. He saved up for it and then he sold it for a profit, and then he kept doing that and he funded himself through uni.
Oh my gosh.
And then his parents said, you've got to get a real job. So he went to Vestiaire Collective and got a job. They're authenticating Louis Vuitton.
That's
and he's
so
an
good.
Expert on that. And they talk about, like, you know, it's got to have the specific one you know, kind of stitch deal, or there's a line in the leather that you see, or the R in Umi's is really hard to fake. So, you know, and it's like such a science. It's quite fascinating, really.
We'll pop the we'll pop the article in the podcast for anyone who wants to read a little bit more around the weird and wonderful world of counterfeiting fashion. Thank you for bringing it to our attention this morning, Penny. Everyone go check the label. Stay vigilant. Check your labels. We will see you next week. Ka kite.
Thank you.
That was Fashion with Penelope Noir.
We are the Goon Squad and we're coming to town. Beep, beep.
Beep, beep.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.